Welcome to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. This is the podcast dedicated to people who want to speak more as a way to build their income and grow their business. Well, welcome everyone to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. My name is Jane Atkinson. I am the author of The Wealthy Speaker 2.0 and The Epic Keynote. The topic of today's podcast is finding an agent or hiring a coach. We're going to delve a little bit into both of those topics. The guest expert today is moi. It's me. I thought it was time that I answered some of the questions that come to me either through email or through my private coaching clients or in the groups that I run. And this topic, oh boy, it comes up again and again. Let's just dive right in. The first question is, how do I find an agent? I feel like it's the $64 million question. People are always thinking that this is some big mystery, and it is. It's not in your mind if you think that it's difficult to find. It's one of the most difficult relationships in the speaking industry, and I know this because I actually did work as an agent for the first, I think, maybe 13, 14, 15 years of my career in the speaking business. First, I worked when I first got into the business, I actually had seen a Les Brown video on PBS, his Live Your Dream speech, and I thought, oh, that's it. I want to go and work for a motivational speaker. It was just kind of an epiphany. It came to me one day. I'm 25 years old, kind of directionless in my career. And I thought, that's it. I know what I want to do next. And I wrote a nice letter to Les Brown and said, hey, I want to come and work for you. And I think his office sent me back like an order form for his products. And so that didn't work out. But you know how you kind of put it out there and then things start to happen? Well, sure enough, I was actually working at 3M on a contract at the time, and an ex-3Mer, Betska K. Burr, was introduced to me as a motivational speaker who was looking for an agent. And I think I got incredibly lucky. It was a bit of a grind, 3 years, a home office in a basement on straight commission, but I had the luxury of some support at home, and I was able to go and do it and take this job. And Betska and I, we doubled her business every year for 3 years and had quite a nice successful run together, and she was an amazing mentor. She really taught me a lot about the business. We really learned it together, and she came to NSA and learned, got the Tom Wininger Book It One and Book It Two tapes, which I devoured, and then I started coming to NSA, and that was actually about 30 years ago. Then the next speaker was Peter Legg, who was out in Vancouver. I kind of went from this basement office to the corner office in a company with 100 people. Peter was a fabulous publisher, still is out in Vancouver, and they do a lot of business publications, magazines, and things like that, and he speaks on the side. And so that was just a complete, it was such a joy to work with him. And of course, I go from being kind of in poverty to flying around on private jets and helicopters. And I think it might have even been a little bit too heady of an experience for me. I was there for 2 years and really, I think probably didn't quite catch up. My mental state didn't quite catch up to my income. And so I kind of imploded that whole situation and started over again, moved down to Dallas to work for Vince Pacenti on the most bare bones budget that you can even imagine. And Vince and I worked together, starting me basically, I think he agreed to pay my bills for me. And he would give me commission on the bookings as they rolled in. And so we did, I think, it was 6 years altogether in Dallas, but 4 years for Vince. And we took him from zero to 80 engagements per year, from kind of 2,500 to about 10 or 15,000 per engagement. And that was a really amazing experience. And that was really when people started to ask me, well, how did you make so-and-so so successful? And can I take you to lunch and pick your brain? Or in Texas, it was, can I take you to lunch and pick your brain? They were, it blessed their hearts. Anyway, so I thought to myself, maybe someday I'm going to start charging for this. But I did go on and stay for 2 more years and work for International Speakers Bureau, where I ran their exclusives division. And that was Vince's wife's company. And I really learned a lot in that role, having best-selling authors and celebrities be a part of my stable of speakers. Boy, that is a lot of gravity on your shoulders, knowing, you know, I think I had 10 speakers at the top, and knowing that 10 families were depending on me and this agency to get them booked. And so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that here in a second. This agent relationship is the trickiest relationship in all of the speaking business. My client, Ryan Estes, has an amazing agent named Lynn, who kind of his business manager, who came over with him from his previous job at the ad agency. So that might be one idea for you, somebody that you've worked with in the past. Lynn is the absolute backbone to Ryan's company, and he knows that he is incredibly lucky. So if you're looking for an agent, where do you go? Where do you find these people? Are they out there? If you Google speaker agents, I don't know that you'll find that many, but let me tell you some of the people that I know that are doing this, and you can connect with them. And I will say that they probably get plenty of people banging down their door, because this is something exclusive. I would have done this years ago if I thought, A, it was lucrative enough, and B, that I didn't have to be 24/7, you know. It's a 24/7 deal, because if a speaker gets a lead, you need to be there and ready to follow it up. So Karen Harris, CMI Speakers, is one of the people that you might connect with. Holly Ketchpole, she runs Speakers Office. C Agency, S-E-E Agency, is Krista Haberstock. Kate Holgate has a company called Alliance for Success. Violet Sierra runs Market Smart, and I believe there are probably another half a dozen out there just like that, that you might be able to run across. And I suspect that if you go to them, they will have kind of a long list of people that they're, you know, looking to see whether or not it's the right fit for their stable of speakers. You know, if you are at a $5,000 fee, I can tell you that there's really not going to be anybody making a lot of money splitting that with you. So you'll have to think about whether or not you're actually ready. And that should really be something that we talk about. So some of the ways to know that you are indeed ready to hire an agent would be, you know, do you have the cash flow? Could you afford a couple thousand dollars a month? And then could you afford to give up 20% of your fee? That would be something that would allow you to be thinking about whether or not you might be ready to go to some of these agencies. Now, some of them likely charge a lot more than that, so just be aware that that may be the case. Now, the next idea would be to approach the speakers bureaus. The speakers bureaus, like I said, have exclusive divisions. And when I see this being a really great fit is if you've been working with a speakers agent or an agency, a speakers bureau, and they've been booking you a lot, and a lot of other speakers bureaus are not booking you, then you might have a good case for becoming exclusive. Like I said, this is such a, it's kind of a burden to them to make sure that you're fulfilled and that you're getting all of the speeches that you need to be able to support your family. And so you want to make sure you're creating a win-win. If you're booking with lots of different speakers bureaus, then I suspect you will not want to go exclusive with just one. And they will co-broker, but I think they don't necessarily want to co-broker if they can avoid it. So again, you know, you're looking for a speakers bureau who might have booked you a lot. Now, another option is to get out there and hire on your own. Okay, so if you go to the Wealthy Speaker 2.0, page 228 starts a big section that's called Hiring Staff That Are Winners. There's a whole bunch of forms in there that can help you get really focused on what exactly you want to hire for and where do you find them and all that good stuff. So you can check that out. But let's talk about where you might find someone who could potentially work for you. I just think that the ideal scenario is, let's say you do a local engagement and someone is sitting in your audience and they're ready to leave their job, or they don't, or maybe they have their own company and they're willing to come to work for you. I think that's finding someone who has seen you speak and gotten so inspired that they come and say, hey, I want to come and work for you. I think that is an ideal scenario. So check out your audiences, be scanning. Maybe you drop a little bit of a note about that you're looking for someone during your speech, and that will allow someone to come to you. Now, it doesn't have to be a local person. I just think it's nice when you can be with them on occasion. And so that's why I was thinking about that locally. Of course, you want to put it out. Put it out on social media. Put it out through all your networks to friends, family, colleagues, local businesses. You know, maybe it's your church. You never know where somebody is going to pop up and go, oh, yeah, that's a great fit. You know, the type of person that you're looking for is going to be someone who is outgoing. They need to be able to sell, and if they don't have a sales background, you need to check and make sure that they can sell. They need to be good on the phone, because that's the majority of the job, is talking to people and putting outbound. In today's world, you're not doing nearly as much kind of call send call that we used to do back in the day. You're really probably doing more like email, you know, and then checking back up on them and trying to get them on the phone is ultimately your goal. So it's a different type of process, but they need to be competent in all of their different communication styles. You could advertise. If you do advertise, you will likely be flooded. So I think that could be a little bit overwhelming. Maybe you just like pop up an ad for one day or something like that. And then again, through your network on social media, maybe you go out on LinkedIn and post something about it and see what type of thing that you get from your network. I think your friends, people who know you, you know, those of us who are matchers, who really like to match up people together, might be able to come up with something for you. So trust that your network might be able to help. The bottom line on, you know, where to find these people is be constantly looking across the horizon and keep your eyes peeled for, you know, some talented person who could help you grow your business. And if you're always looking for talent, some entrepreneurs, that's what they feel their job is just constantly looking for really talented people. And if they find them, they'll bring them into their business in whatever capacity. And so that's your goal, is to be just kind of constantly scanning to see if there's someone that sticks out, and hopefully the timing lines up. So when you do find this person, what might your arrangement be with them? So I talked a little bit before about what this might cost you. And you could offer them straight commission. And I will say that in my experience, the types of situations that have not succeeded have been like, I'm going to pay you a straight 10% commission. Let's say you're a $7,500 speaker and this person makes $750. You know, they're going to have to make two bookings a month just to maybe pay the rent and a few other bills. And so you have to know what's going to be important to them. If security is really important to them, look at what's going on around them. Do they have any backup? Do they have a spouse who might have a corporate job? So they have, you know, a lot of healthcare benefits and things like that. So they don't necessarily have to worry when they might be a contracted or, you know, like an agent for you. And they might be a self-employed worker. They might bill you once a month for their services, and that works out really well in this industry. You could bring them on board as a staff member if you want to, but I think that creates a lot more paperwork for you and things that you need to be thinking about. It. You can weigh the pros and cons of doing it both ways. I think a great scenario is a base plus commission. And anything below 25%, you're walking away with more than you would if it was a bureau engagement. So maybe it's, you know, $1,500 a month and a 20% commission. You'll have to do the numbers and make sure that you're comfortable with offering that. Again, if you're sitting at about $5,000, might be a little bit premature bringing somebody in, but if you really, really want to do it, then you'll have to just really work hard, and maybe you set up a time frame where you are testing it 3 to 6 months, so that if you are paying out $1,500 a month, you know after 6 months and X thousands of dollars whether or not you can afford to continue. The real goal is to have them have a win early on. And when you think about it, you really have to look at this person as your team member. And if you say, okay, well, anybody who calls me directly, you won't get a piece of that action. I actually think that you should cut them in on everything that comes in the business. If they're going to be your business manager, then make them your business manager. Don't make them compete with other things. And if you did get a call from a speaker's bureau, then you might say, okay, you'll get 20% on things that are directed by you, and then maybe a lesser percentage. Maybe it's only 5% on things that are speakers bureaus or something like that. So try to work the numbers so that it's a win for everyone. Now, here are a few more things to be looking for when it comes to engaging this person. You really, when you're doing any hiring or any relationship, strategic partnerships, whatever they might be, look for aligned values. If, let's say, you get into a strategic relationship with somebody and they love to work until they're nearly dead and you really value a balanced lifestyle, well, that relationship may not fly all that well because you don't share the same values. So you have to do a little bit of investigating. Maybe you have them do some sort of behavioral test and you can kind of match up their behavior with yours and see, you know, if you look at them on the DISC scale. Something that you'll want on the DISC scale is someone who's a fairly high I, someone who has those interpersonal skills, who will be able to reach out to people fearlessly. So look at the values, look at their behavioral style, and see whether or not you might have a matchup. The next thing on the list is to really manage expectations. You want to not have unrealistic expectations. I think it's incredibly common for people to have unrealistic expectations. Okay, we're going to go from 0 to 80 engagements. Well, guess what? That took 3 years of incredibly hard work. And your part, your side of those expectations, and I'm thinking back to Vince and myself. When I first started with Vince, I went and looked at the booking board on my first day to see what was cooking, and there was, you know, maybe one or two gigs at $2,500, and I thought, oh, geez, you know, what have I got myself into? This is crazy. I left Canada, moved down to Texas to do this job, and I really thought I had made a massive mistake. Vince was a good speaker at the time, but he was on his way to becoming great. And once that greatness kicked in, so I kind of, we set some goals for ourselves, and I went to work, you know, kind of 3 years head down on the marketing, and he went to work 3 years head down on getting really, really good. And that is why it all came together, you know, 80 engagements a year at, you know, $10,000 or $15,000 per. So just know that expectations of each other have to be clear, and that your role in that is to, you know, put the right systems in place, make sure that you have the right marketing going. I had someone come to me a couple of days ago to do a Focus 40 session. That's kind of my introductory session. And I told him all of the things that I think he might want to consider doing in his business in order to succeed. And he wanted to skip right over all of that and just hire someone to make it happen. Well, guess what? They have no foundation. They have nothing to work with. How are they going to be successful when you haven't been willing to put all of the right pieces of the puzzle in place? Huge pieces of the puzzle are, do you have a great website that actually sells, that speaks to the outcomes of your work? And do you have really great video that helps to sell you? Unfortunately for me, Vince had sent out a video that was just okay to all of the bureaus before I arrived. And so I spent quite a long time kind of backpedaling and getting us, you know, convincing people that he really was good, because the video went out a little bit prematurely. So, and Vince would tell you that story himself, so I don't feel like I'm speaking out of school here. Again, we've talked about, you know, kind of the idea of making sure that they feel comfortable and safe in the finances of it. We don't want to give until it hurts. And so maybe you start out with a little bit bigger base, but then that goes down over time or whatever. I want it to be a win-win. And if you can't afford, you know, $1,000 or $500 or $1,500, then this really isn't the time for you to do it. Another tip for creating this win-win relationship is, don't bog them down with administrative duties. If you are hiring an assistant, hire an assistant. If you're hiring a kind of agent or someone to be your business manager, then try to really give them those duties so that they're spending the majority of their time selling. Now, there's nothing that says as a business manager you can't have a whole wide range of duties. I'm just saying be very, very clear about that, okay? Excuse me for the background noises. That's my dog shaking that you might hear in the background. Home office, this is what we do, right? You might want to check in regularly. Maybe you have weekly reports at the beginning and just check and see how are things going. Okay, now if this is the only thing that you hear in this podcast, I hope you will take this one down. Train them well. The reason why I think this is the most kind of dubious relationship that is in the speaking industry is because people will bring someone on board and then kind of let them do their thing. But guess what? they don't know what they're doing. You need to train them. So have them come to your speeches, multiple speeches. Have them with you by your side when people are coming up and talking to you. Have them hear you on the phone with clients. Patch them in on conference calls that you're having with clients so that they know how to sell you just as well as you sell yourself. I think that that is the part that will serve you the most. Spend a lot of time and energy in the first 3 months really, really training them. And we really do want them to have a win very, very early on. So that's why when the business comes in the front door, you want to hand it over to them so that they can start feeling the excitement of a win straight away. Okay, so that's all about hiring the agent. Now let's move into hiring a coach. Several ideas to think about are these. First of all, you want to think about what kind of help you need. What kind of coach do you even need? Do you need help with your speech? Do you need help with your messaging, your content? Do you need help with your social media? Do you need help picking a lane? Or do you need help with your website? You know, some people might say, well, I just want more bookings. Okay, but is everything in place to get you there? That's why a lot of people who will call me, you know, to be their agent, I'll say, okay, I'm not an agent. However, I do have this Focus 40 session that you can do. I'll just kind of give you a few ideas on how to steer the ship. And a lot of those people become clients because they realize that they have a lot of work to do before they actually do the hiring. And then I help them do the hiring and it works out much better on the back end. When it comes to finding that right coach, once you know what you're looking for, ask around, ask out to your network. I've seen people do it on Facebook, and boy, are the lists ever long. You should hire so-and-so, ho, and so-and-so, and so-and-so. Everybody out there who's had any level of success as a speaker is now getting into the coaching of the speaker's game. So be discerning. I don't really have any soapbox or axe to grind on this. I have trained up my competition on numerous occasions, but I really look at the big picture here, and I think that there's lots of business to go around. But I do want you to be aware of a few criteria for hiring a coach. Number one is going to be, do they have a track record of making speakers successful, and is it long? Okay. If they, you know, lots of people ask speakers, hey, you know, how did you get so successful? And then they decide to become coaches, and you might be really one or two people that they've ever coached. And I think maybe I look at that as more of a mentor role than coaching. Do they do this, you know, full time in their career? If they're trying to fit you in between travel, if they have a busy calendar themselves, that's something to think about, is whether or not your coach will actually be available for you, whether or not they actually have a coaching schedule that you know you can fit into. Another thing to think about is, what happens if you change your mind? What if you're not getting what you need from that coaching relationship? One of my clients came to me after getting or trying to get out of unsuccessfully of a relationship that had requested that she sign a 20 or 30 page document. It's like, whoa, I think that would be a little bit scary. I think I would think twice about it. I'm not saying that whoever had that document wasn't doing good work. I just think that it's quite frightening when there's a lot of legalities involved, and that would certainly frighten me off a little bit. And I tend to work a little bit more on a handshake because I want to trust that I'm going to be working with people who are the right fit for me. And if it turns out we're a wrong fit, I want to be able to say, thanks, but I don't think this is working out. Here's your money back. That's as good of a situation for me as it is for anyone. And so I'm not interested in locking anybody into a win-lose if they feel like they're not getting what they need. So, part of that is when people come in, we really want them to be committed. So really think about, are you committed to whatever the process is? We have a 12-month process. We also have a 6-month process, but our 12-month is the one that's the most successful. And so I really want to be committed to somebody when we get in bed together for 12 months. So I do want to put in a little plug for our Focus 40 session, actually. If you go to speakerlauncher.com and click on the coaching button, you will see that one of the steps in our process is this Focus 40 session. It's really inexpensive, and it's a great way to, you know, you might get everything that you need just from that one call, and that would be a good value for you. And then if there is more work to be done, we can talk about that. But I don't do a big hard sell, and you probably won't hear from me again unless maybe one question or something like that, but I don't certainly hound you after the fact. Now, the bottom line on hiring is that clarity is king. The more prepared you are on the front end, to know exactly what you want from your new team member, what you want them to provide for you, the better the entire relationship is going to flow. So I would like to wish you all the best on that journey towards finding that perfect client or perfect agent, I should say, or perfect coach for yourself. And we're going to have lots and lots of exciting topics coming your way. So I hope you will keep listening. Give me some feedback. Would love some comments out on Stitcher and iTunes and on social media. So for that, we will say, see you soon, Wealthy Speakers. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the Wealthy Speakers Show. Please visit speakerlauncher.com for your free Wealthy Speaker audit, and visit speakerlauncher.com/podcast for show notes and many more resources to help you catapult your speaking business. See you soon, Wealthy Speakers.